The words of Jeremiah, which Adam read to us this morning, are perhaps more true today than at any point since they were written. Jeremiah wrote those words just before the Israelites were sent into exile in Babylon. In fact, during the section that was read to us this morning, the army of Babylon was currently laying siege to Jerusalem. Jeremiah himself has been sequestered by King Zedekiah. Jeremiah has been confined and placed under guard in the palace. It seems that King Zedekiah really didn't want Jeremiah saying the things he was saying and for the people to be hearing them. The Israelites are about to be torn from their power base. They are feeling uncertain and disoriented. Today, we live in a time that is similarly disorienting. We live in a post-Christian world. We are on the outside and we are looking in. Many people ridicule us for our beliefs, thinking we are old-fashioned or superstitious. Canadian theologian Douglas John Hall writes, "I believe that the phase of the Christian movement that we call Christendom, the domination of official Christianity in the Western world, is coming, has come to an effective end, despite vestiges of Christendom that continue today and may continue for a long time." Paul continues, "I believe that appearances to the contrary, we North American churches are also now being pushed visibly to the periphery. And the question is, are we just going to let this happen to us? Or can we give some concrete direction to this process of disestablishment? Can we, in some meaningful sense, disestablish ourselves and, in the process, recover something of our genuine mission in the world?" That's a mouthful. Think now to Jeremiah. Jeremiah tells the Israelites to take heart that the day is coming when God will restore the kingdom, that a king in the line of David will come. That king, of course, is Jesus Christ. And we prepare for the coming of Jesus amidst the turmoil of life. In our reading from Jeremiah, though it points to future promise, Jeremiah is writing at a time where there is great turmoil, where there is great despair. And in our gospel reading from Luke this morning, there is also a sense of despair, that things are not as they should be, people are unsettled, and perhaps they don't want to hear what is being shared with them. And perhaps we have problems hearing the message that Jesus has for us in Luke's gospel. Or we wish that Jeremiah hadn't been so vocal about telling the Israelites how they have strayed from God, because we wonder if that's a message that we need to hear too. It's odd that as we await and anticipate the birth of baby Jesus, that first we need to encounter an adult and very stern Jesus. A Jesus who warns us not to feast and celebrate too much. It's an odd thing to hear in Christmas, because we have all these Christmas parties where we will indeed feast and celebrate. We're going to do that after church today, aren't we? We're going to feast on our potluck lunch. They didn't know I was going to preach on this when they planned it. I didn't know I was going to preach on this when they planned it. But think about that message. And of course, it's not Christmas yet, is it? It's Advent. Christmas will start later this month. That's another misconception, right? Ask anyone else on the street and they'll tell you, it's Christmas time. No, it's Advent time. And Advent is a time similar to Lent when we prepare for Christmas. Jesus tells us in this passage that strange events will occur and that people in countries will despair. Despair is characterized primarily by the conspicuous absence of theological hope. First Sunday in Advent, hope. And we have passages rooted and embedded in this theme of despair. And humans meet despair when they cannot imagine God's promised alternative future. And sometimes I think we do despair that God's kingdom may not come, that the work seems so much, the job so big. And so if you've come to church this morning on the first Sunday of Advent, and you are expecting more of what contemporary culture, of what you find in the malls or on TV, if you're hoping for what that provides, then I fear you will or may already be disappointed. The church is not here to offer empty platitudes or to remind people that everything will be all right. The church is here to point to Jesus Christ. As Christians, we mark time in a different fashion than the rest of the world. For the rest of the Western world, Christmas marks the end of the year. The day of gift-giving marks the end of a long year and harkens to the beginning of a new one. But for us as Christians, this morning, the first Sunday of Advent, is the first day of a new year. The church year begins on the first Sunday of Advent. Today, on the first Sunday of Advent, it marks the first day as sacred time, where we look towards the birth of Jesus Christ. Those outside the church, they use December as a countdown to Christmas. But for us, we count forward in time, for a time that begins with Jesus. Have you ever noticed that? How people count down to Christmas. We did it with the kids this morning. Three more Sundays after today, till Christmas. I think I first heard my first countdown to Christmas, so many Saturdays till Christmas, before Halloween. I'm not kidding. Of course, Christmas isn't the only event that society counts down towards. Almost every major holiday or occasion has a countdown. This past Friday was Black Friday, when all the stuff is on sale, and we count down to Black Friday. Some people count down to St. Patrick's Day. If you've ever been in a pub and you've seen a Guinness display, some of them have countdown timers that start right up again on March 18th. 364 more days till St. Patrick's Day. I've seen them. The long weekend in May gets a countdown. The start of your vacation gets a countdown. How many years until retirement gets a countdown. We count everything down, and in doing so, we never look forward. We never count forward. And as a result, we don't anticipate the promise found in Jesus. We count down from one event until the next, and we don't see that future promise. Because we're always counting down to an event, we don't take the time to plan, to anticipate, and to participate in God's future promises. Today, for the church, is New Year's Day. Not a day for resolutions, but a day to reaffirm our love of God. A day for the community of faith to remember the trust that is found in God's promises. Promises made past, present, and future. We consider the readings we have from Jeremiah and from Luke this morning, and we see that despair. And we're baffled by it. On a morning when we attach the word hope to all that we do, we are called to witness despair. We are challenged by it, and in doing so, we see the hope that waits for us on the other side as we look forward to Christmas. So this morning, we see the importance of waiting, of anticipating, and trusting in a promised future that seems very far removed from our current circumstances. This morning, we are given the task not of looking back and hearing the story of Jesus' birth, as Luke's gospel recounts it, a story that starts with the words, "in those days." Today, we are not here to hear the story that begins once upon a time. This morning, we're called to bear witness to the promise that is found in the words, "The days are surely coming when I will fulfill the promise I made." Today, at the beginning of the year, we look forward to our future hope. Today, we lit an Advent candle to celebrate the coming hope we have in Jesus Christ. However, our readings prepare us for justice and righteousness, of a future hope that is coming. Friends, I long for a day that is surely coming, where we can boast in God's future, for a day when we will stop producing body bags and instead produce sleeping bags. I long for a day when we will not require sleeping bags for our homeless, when the poor are not sequestered to shelters or the street. I long for a day when abundance can be known by all, not just a few elite. I long for a day when malice, racism, and sexism are no longer tearing the world asunder. Friends, today we are called to the task of holy imagining. Today we are asked to look forward at our future hope. Today we look forward to a day when justice and righteousness will be known by all people. That is the hope we are called towards. That is what we work for. We do not count down to the day when it will happen. We look forward to a future, and we work for a future where it will occur. In bringing Jesus Christ to earth, God got very creative. And we are called to harness the creative energy of God, to imagine what God's kingdom might look like, and to do the work of bringing that kingdom into being. Jeremiah lived and wrote in uncertain times. And today, we too live in uncertain times. People question us. They question our motives. We live in a time of disestablishment for the church, and that is scary for us. Expectations of what it means to be church from 10, 20, and 50 and more years ago, they no longer hold true. The church is seeking to rediscover itself and how it can best carry out God's plan for creation. We need to be thinking about that at all times. but especially now in Advent. We need to work through the challenges of proclaiming God's kingdom so that when the King is born, we will be ready. Amen.